Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, August 28th, and I am reading from the New International Version and then the New Living Translation when we get to the book of Ezekiel. We are flying through the book of Ephesians, and today we read Ephesians chapter 4. The title in my Bible says, Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ. And as you'll see, there are tons of just implications for the gospel here and the ways that we as Christians should live out our faith. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given us as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And now let's turn over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 99. Now remember, we're in a section of the Psalms that someone has designated as the Royal Psalms. And so again and again, we are hearing that the Lord reigns. And so I want you to picture with me our Lord God on the throne. And not only to picture it, but to let that inform your day, that whatever may ensue, whatever chaos may ensue, whatever thing that happens that we cannot understand, let us return to the sovereignty, the majesty, and the power of the Lord. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from a pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord, our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punish their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord, our God, is holy. Before we move on, I just wanted to read to you a text message that I have been interchanging with Chad Seagraves, who is with 1040 Connection. We had been praying for Afghani Christians, and many of them are trying to get out of Afghanistan. And they had a whole plan to try to all get to the airport, and they had a person of peace there. And really, honestly, it fell apart. Things didn't move into line as they should have, and the people in Afghanistan are still in need of safety and housing. There's danger at curfew, and some families have lost cell service. Anyway, there's lots of continued needs, and so we need to continue to pray to our God, who we know reigns and who loves justice. But what I wanted to read to you was a text message from some of the Afghanistani brothers and sisters to Chad. He says this, "Remind praying friends that their prayers didn't fail. The liar wants them to hear these lies. Our Father is the protector and sustainer. Thank you for praying." And so as we read these Psalms and we are figuring out more and more the character of God, we praise him that though we cannot always understand, we can know that it is true. He is the protector, he is the sustainer, and he reigns. Okay, let's move forward now into the book of Ezekiel. Today we are reading Ezekiel chapter 29, starting in verse 9, in the second part of verse 9, so 9b, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. This is a message for Egypt. "Because you said, 'The Nile River is mine, I made it,' I am now the enemy of both you and your river. I will utterly destroy the land of Egypt, from Migdol to Aswan, as far south as the border of Ethiopia. For 40 years, not a soul will pass that way, neither people nor animals. It will be completely uninhabited. I will make Egypt desolate, and it will be surrounded by other desolate nations. Its cities will be empty and desolate for 40 years, surrounded by other desolate cities. I will scatter the Egyptians to distant lands. But the Sovereign Lord also says, at the end of the 40 years, I will bring the Egyptians home again from the nations to which they have been scattered. I will restore the prosperity of Egypt and bring its people back to the land of Pathros in southern Egypt, from which they came. But Egypt will remain an unimportant, minor kingdom. It will be the lowliest of all the nations, never again great enough to rise above its neighbors. Then Israel will no longer be tempted to trust in Egypt for help. Egypt's shattered condition will remind Israel of how sinful she was to trust Egypt in earlier days. Then Israel will know that I alone am the Sovereign Lord. On April 26th, during the 27th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, the army of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon fought so hard against Tyre that the warriors' heads were rubbed bare and their shoulders were raw and blistered. Yet Nebuchadnezzar and his army won no plunder to compensate them for all their work. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He will carry off their wealth, plundering everything they have to pay his army. Yes, I have given him the land of Egypt as a reward for his work, says the Sovereign Lord, because he was working for me when he destroyed Tyre. And the day will come when I will cause the ancient glory of Israel to revive. And then at last your words will be respected. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. This month at the Deacons Meeting, Angie Jones shared the devotional, and in the devotional, she encouraged us to do something called an M&M prayer. So you get a bag of M&Ms, and each color represents a different thing to pray for. While we don't have M&Ms here with us, we can go through the process of praying for the different things that the colors suggest. So for example, for a green, we are to thank God for one gift and one good thing in our lives. So for our family or love or health or anything like that. So then we go to blue and we'll pray for a friend or a neighbor who needs help or needs to know Jesus. For the red, we pray for someone whom we love. For the yellow, we pray for our leaders and for those God has put in charge of something. For example, our church or our school or our government. For the orange, we are asked to pray for someone who is sick or hurt or needs healing. And then for the brown, we pray for ourselves and we tell God something we are sorry for or something that's worrying us, etc. So we're not going to talk about the colors, but I'm just going to lead us through this time of self-reflection. Would you pray with me? Please take a moment to thank God for one gift or one good thing in your life. Pray for a friend or a neighbor who needs help or who needs to know the Lord Jesus. Take a moment to pray for someone whom you love. Let us now pray for the leaders that God has put in charge of our church, maybe our school, and our government. Now, Lord, we come to you and pray for those who are sick or hurt and are in need of healing. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. Lord, we are so sorry for the things that we have done that displease you. Lord, we offer to you that which worries us. And we ask you for your help. Thank you for directing our thoughts and our minds. Help us to be a people like that in Ephesians, which encourage and build one another up. Help us to be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.